Sennan first up this extraordinary report by HICWA into the insertion of spinal springs, or the use of unapproved springs for spinal surgeries in Temple Street. Take us through the top findings of the report.
Well, where do you start, really? The summation is that three children had unapproved springs inserted into their bodies by a surgeon known only as Surgeon A, who apparently did so thinking it would be a good idea because he had been to a medical conference and he had seen a presentation in relation to what they were doing in Holland, where they were using titanium springs of medical quality to try and prevent repeated operations on children who had curvature of the spine, the medical name for which is scoliosis, and which has been rather like an albatross around the neck of this government for a very long time. Surgeon A came back most impressed and thought that perhaps he alone could pursue this spring idea with Irish children. It appears that he effectively bought these springs off the internet. He did not go seeking prior approval to the ethics committee. They were not obtained via the normal procurement process within the hospital. Nobody assessed his idea because he didn't present it to anybody. There are all kinds of questions in relation to the informed consent of parents. They were not told when these operations were carried out and Surgeon A was blithely inserting springs into their children, that this was experimental, that it had had not been approved by anyone or canvassed anywhere. So a whole series of procedural...
Nor that the springs themselves had any medical...
Now, I was going to come to the springs themselves, because this is a chapter that has to be taken step by step. The springs themselves were not titanium springs. They were stainless steel, non-medical springs. The reality is that they could corrode and did corrode. In the words of Paul Murphy, TD, today, they effectively rusted inside the bodies of children. And as Mary Lou McDonald put it in Leader's Questions, CHI was established with a view to getting children's paediatric medicine out from under the umbrella of the HSE, big lumbering beast that was recognising itself to be inefficient in a way, and ensuring that the very least we could do is protect our children and make sure services run efficiently for them. CHI is only involved in three hospitals, Crumlin, Temple Street and Kappa, doing mainly spinal and orthopaedics. And yet, Surgeon A obtained these springs, which didn't even meet CE standard, which is, you know, the standard kite mark, if you like, for the Council of Europe, and were therefore deemed safe. So despite what might have been held out to him in advertising, they were not suitable for doing anything. And in any case, again, it turns to another aspect that we have sometimes seen in Irish medicine. And I could name names, but I know you're going to stop me from naming names. So I'm merely going to say that we have seen the situation of physicians playing God before in the Irish Health Service. And I hasten to add, lest you jump in, that I'm not suggesting in this case that Surgeon A was playing God. But nonetheless, he did a whole series of things off his own bat. And the Taoiseach said, underdog privilege today, that first and last, the responsibility comes back to him. Right. A huge amount of questions arise there. What else was he doing? How long was he there?
All right. And maybe we'll get to some of the other issues that arise in the report as well. But you mentioned what was said at Leader's Questions as well. Just bring us briefly through the political reaction we saw that played out in the Dáil today.
Well, I think people had been shocked by the HICWA report initially coming out. And Sinn Féin, it must be said, had raised this issue before. Now, there's a related issue that they've also... That also affects CHI, and that is something called hip dysplasia. Okay, your hip is not your spine. Nonetheless, we have a situation in parallel whereby 561 children are being recalled for assessment as to whether their hip surgeries were required.
Or indeed whether they even had hip dysplasia at all when they were recommended for surgery.
That's true. Yeah. So in the Dáil, it was rather low key, and I think because people were horrified, but it was called a damning litany of failures by Mary Lou MacDonald. She cited, of course, parents who had gone to the media, like in relation to the child, Daniel Collins, who's 14. You know, again, who needed operations, but because they had been delayed so long, he's in a really bad way now. And of course, Surgeon A, unlike the departed chairman of CHI, is still suspended. And yet, and now we have also piling up 233, I think is the figure, of people who now are overdue the scoliosis surgeries.
And there are further reports to come and other processes in play in CHI. We'll go to the panel on this. Kiarracha, I suppose, first, your reaction to this.
I think my first reaction is, as a human rather than a politician and somebody who worked with vulnerable children for 19 years, and I'm like probably sick to my stomach, emotional about it. It's so distressing and so wrong to think that this disgraced surgeon, I think, take well-intentioned out of it. It sounds like something out of a horror movie, like not real life, that he took these three children.
But the findings of the expert HICWA report, such as we have it at the moment, says it was well-intentioned but inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't bear thinking about that these vulnerable children were experimented on without informed consent of their parents, who, you know, they hand their children over, they trust the surgeon. It's I think the most gross neglect of trust that you can have, and the consequences have caused, you know, serious harm. I think, you know, the report is welcome and it's very comprehensive, but there's so many questions around how the procedures were not followed. You know, it didn't go to the Medical Ethics Committee. There was no formal approval. I don't think it was reported to the clinical lead. And I think when you look at the fact that it was three different surgeries, you know, it's not just one surgeon. There's a team there. So how can non-alloyed springs be put into three children three separate times? It just doesn't, you know, beggar thinking about, really. And I know the minister next week is meeting with the HSE and CHI in relation to making sure the recommendations go forward, looking at the governance issues, looking at the relationships between consultants and their clinical leads, because we have to ensure, you know, that systems are in place and followed to protect patients. And in this case, that certainly did not happen.
Okay, Liam Quaid.
Yeah, it's an absolutely shocking dereliction of CHI's duty of care to the young people impacted. Today's report, I think, you know, in the kind of impersonal language of such reports, highlights major systemic failure. But we saw one of the activists, one of the advocacy group mm-hmm. representatives on primetime this evening talk in the more, I think, accurate language of deep betrayal of families. And I think that's how we need to see this. As Kira said, these springs should never have made it to a surgical theatre, and let alone the bodies of young children. So there's huge failings in governance, in oversight, communication, and it's on the back of a series of scandals and crises in CHI. And I think now we really need to urgently reconvene the Oireachtas Health Committee and bring in representatives of CHI and really questioned them very thoroughly. And the HICWA report recommendations all need to be implemented with clear timelines. And we need to crucially get sight very soon of that other outstanding report on the unnecessary hip surgery. And we need to get a publication date on that.
All right. I should at this point, I'll come to you, Ray the Croner, but the parents of one of the children who had an unimproved spring implanted in a spinal surgery without their consent of knowledge has said that the events amount to a complete breach of trust. And this is the McMahon family, who had to go to the High Court to get the medical documents and ultimately have this spring removed. Their son Luke was born with spinal muscular atrophy type 1 and scoliosis. And, you know, those parents and family have been watching this closely, no doubt, throughout the day. But Ray the Cronin, your own reaction to what we heard today.
Yeah, Mary Lou said that it was a damning litany of failure.
If you just come in, a little closer to the mic, and we get the benefit of your wisdom there. Thanks.
Sorry. Yeah, Mary Lou said that this was a damning litany of failure from the CHI. And, you know, we were waiting in the waiting room there before we came in, and we saw Una Keitley on Primetime talking about the betrayal that these families feel. And I know that that's how they feel, because I've met them. David Cullinan came down to meet a lot of parents in North Kildare around this, and Una Keitley was one of them. And those families, they do feel awful betrayal right now. They have, you know, you're giving your most prized possession into the care of the CHI, into the care of these surgeons. And to think that there was no procurement used for obtaining these springs. These children were experimented on. Like, it's absolutely horrendous.
Now, we have a listener
who's kept in the dark about this. They weren't consulted about their children being the first three children to be, for this procedure to be implemented on them. It's absolutely horrendous. And it comes after, you know, the recommendations from the HICWA report, the recommendations from the Ombudsman report in 2021, they weren't implemented either. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to have accountability. The chair of the board has resigned today, but the whole board has to, like, being a member of a board is a hugely responsible position to be in. Why weren't, there has to be accountability for this. These parents deserve to know why their children were experimented on. And they have no faith at the moment in the board of the CHI. They have no faith in the executive. The minister, she said she's going to meet them next week. This has to happen. These parents have to be consulted.
Right. Listeners who didn't hear it, Una Keitley was on Primetime just shortly before we came on air. Senan was saying that even still, some of the statements that are emanating from the CHI, such as the assignment of new clinicians to the children who were affected by this, has not happened, despite the assurances by CHI that it has.
That's right. That's exactly what she was saying. She also said, by the way, that this is lifting the lid on what could turn out to be a can of worms. And certainly we have, it seems small at the moment, with only three confirmed cases in relation to the steel springs insertion, you know, and experimentation on children's bodies. You know, that's 80 years after something similar was going on in dark continental Europe. But I mean, it's not alone, because it's related to the hip dysplasia, and the most garish allegations have been levelled there as to what is the motivation.
Sure. I mean, look, for the purposes of this conversation, yeah. I mean, we can limit our conversation on this to the findings arising from the HICWA report on some of the issues that arise on this specific thing, without drawing in historical analogies or anything else. But one of the things it was said in the Dáil today, the Taoiseach was at pains to point out, to leave it at the individual concern, that ultimately, you know, the actions of an individual resulted in this. But I mean, a read through the report, and if listeners are online and want to read the report, if they go to page 6 of the even 25 page executive summary, it says HICWA found that governance arrangements, there were changes to the governance arrangements of CHI, and clinical leads ended up being responsible for things, services that were being moved to other hospitals. And HICWA found these governance arrangements were overly complex and placed an onerous and unrealistic workload expectation on the clinical directors and senior managers operating within the structure. And they have a number of following points on that. But this is part of the reason, the reorganisation and how it was being handled is part of the reason that the oversight mechanisms within the hospital didn't pick this up.
Yeah, and I mean, I just want to mention spina bifida as well, because there'll be spina bifida parents out there whose children also ran into trouble. Going back to 2013, we had 19 cases of spina bifida surgery. So you add that to hip dysplasia, you add that to the scoliosis surgeries. And the indications are that this is now going to widen. As I say, you know, we have about 561 children who are going to be recalled in relation to hip dysplasia. So in relation to governance, the Taoiseach was at pains to reduce it to a single person's responsibility. Then the departure of the chair at one level, the chair of CHI, doesn't have any, you know, day-to-day oversight. It's easy you know, for him to fall on his sword. But serious questions do have to be asked about the level of reportage and oversight, quite apart from anomalies within the system whereby if a doctor goes from one hospital to another amongst the three, they were operating under different rules. That was drawn attention to as well. But clearly this has come out because there was a single whistleblower. And I don't know the whistleblower, and I'm not going to speculate who it is. But at one level, there wasn't a proper reporting mechanism whereby it seems to me people could go up the chain and be confident that their concerns would be acted upon.
There is a kind of a number of references as well, and it's hard to see in plain English what they mean. There is talk about communications difficulties and structures for communications between consultants and people who would approve the use of devices and the decontamination of devices and something around issues of behaviour and communications within teams.
I mean, yes, and culture.
It may be beyond the power or indeed the legal protection of the people who wrote this report to delve any further into that. But even within the report itself, it could be argued there's a need for greater clarity.
Oh, absolutely. And that's another reason. So I think Ray had mentioned it for the quick convening of the next health committee, or maybe it was Liam. Yeah, I mean, there are dark hints there within the report as to the culture within orthopaedics across these three hospitals. So it seems to be hinting at personality clashes. I won't go any further,
sure.
I know, because you're
going
to jump down my throat. But
clearly
we have to get these things out and spelt out before a Dáil committee where people have privilege and can lay out the facts about who was arguing with whom, if that's the case, which we can't venture into on the radio.
Now, I mean, look, the committee is one thing. A public inquiry is another issue. There was a call made for that. The Taoiseach, not in favour of that. Let's hear what was said on the floor of the Dáil today on that front about a public inquiry and the calls for that.
I've been looking back over the years. Since 1997, €500 million has been spent on inquiries. And inevitably, these inquiries last years. They don't give you the closure. They don't give victims the closure they want. They cost millions. The legal profession, I don't mean this in any negative way towards the legal profession, but there's huge fees involved. And we really do need to honestly ask ourselves the question, is a public inquiry now the first course of resort, as opposed to being one that really should be there for matters, you know, of last resort? Like, look at CiteServe. You recall, Deputy, you were in the House at the time. There was meant to be 10 modules. It took us years to get one module. We had Project Eagle. It's cost millions. What did it come up with? It came out of this house. Didn't see anything untoward in the end. After all of that, like, we have to get around as a country. Our institutions that we set up to investigate things must be better and must do their job. Otherwise, what's the point in having a GSOC? What's the point in having HEQA? What's the point of having various, like the Health and Safety Authority? Because I understand people who are coming for it. They want answers. But sometimes they're led to believe that the inquiry is the preferred route to an answer. And it isn't, I think, having experienced so many of them leading to such disappointment when they're published, such enormous cost. And there is an ethical question as to whether a lot of those resources should be allocated to children in need today.
All right, that was the Taoiseach talking about a variety of objections on his part to a public inquiry. Ray the Cronin, you support a public inquiry. Is it necessary to get to the details? Do you take on board any concerns regarding the cost or ultimate endpoint of a public inquiry raised by the Taoiseach there?
Well, I think we have to talk to the parents, first of all, and the advocacy groups. I wouldn't be against a Scally-type inquiry. We had that after the cervical smear scandal. There's a litany of scandals from the HSE. But we did have the Scally-type inquiry, which was, you know, as long as you put good terms of reference into when you're starting an investigation. But I do think we do have to, we need that in initial investigation, Scally type investigation initially, and we do have to talk to the parents, because maybe we do have to lift up the bonnet and open the can of worms and make sure, because there is a culture of and hierarchy in the medical in Medics, and I know consultants, we've all had, I'm sure we've all had experience with consultants who decide who are godlike, and you know, my
right.
my own dad died at the, as the, resu- as the
sure,
result
but
of a, yeah.
Okay, well, we look, I mean, but there
we
are.
All have, so we do, it is a cultural thing, and we do have to lift the bonnet, and we certainly need some kind of investigation quickly because parents want answers.
All right, so basically, in summary, a public inquiry, if the terms of reference mean it can be executed and concluded quickly, would be your position on it?
Well, that was we probably need initially anyway.
Okay, Liam Quaid.
But I do think the parents have to be consulted.
Yeah.
I think the Taoiseach's resistance to a public inquiry was too much of a knee-jerk reaction there. We heard from one of the advocacy group representatives tonight on primetime say that while they welcomed the report and they felt it was very positive from HICWA, that it was too narrow in remit to really get a sense of the full scale of issues in CHI Ireland. And for that reason, and also because we've had similar reports over the years since 2013, whose recommendations haven't been implemented, she made a very compelling case for a public inquiry, and I think we really need to heed that.
All right. Ciara Keogh, I mean, the Taoiseach seems to be making an argument against a public inquiry off the bat there. What's your own position on it?
I think he was putting back to the HICWA report and feeling that HICWA had done their job. But I think at this point, parents want answers and parents want to be able to trust in the services. And I think, you know, I welcome the resignation of the chairperson of CHI. I think now we have to make sure that these recommendations are followed. We have to make sure the unclear reporting lines are fixed. We have to make sure there's adequate oversight. We have a new hospital opening soon. There's two reports on the way. So there's still an awful lot of questions. And I think, you know, we talk about Aractus committees. Whatever way we'll get the answers for these parents and the trust back as quickly as possible, I think is what we have to look at. And I know we can talk about leaders' questions and knee-jerk reactions, but, you know, the Taoiseach and the government want to ensure that there's adequate services for children and parents can trust in the service. So I think whatever way is the best way to get to the answers as quickly as possible. And if what these advocacy groups are saying, that this is, you know, lifting the lid on more to come, I think we just have to, you know, keep everything on the table, make sure we get the answers that we need, and make sure that we can get confidence back, because trust has been shaken for these parents who are in a really vulnerable situation.
All right. Senan, what the Taoiseach got to say about a public inquiry there. I mean, he mentioned two other public inquiries, and, you know, I mean, they were more investigative inquiries that began, I suppose, without the knowledge we have now. They had some hints, Project Eagle and the Sitesurf investigation, as a means of conducting their investigation. But ultimately, there was more heavy lifting to be done during the course of the public inquiry. Does the same really apply to this when the HICWA report would seem to provide the basis for terms of reference?
Yeah, I think when the Taoiseach hears the word public inquiry, he doesn't think, as our listeners might tonight, that it would be an inquiry held in public. To him, that has specific meaning. A public inquiry was laid down under the Tribunals and Evidence Act, you know, back in the day, and then it was slightly amended to be a special investigation power could take place. And we had these forms of commissions of investigation under High Court judges, which did a lot of their work in private. And that actually, in some ways, didn't advance matters because they weren't in public in the first place, but they also lasted as long as adversarial public inquiries. As soon as it's going to be held in public, people tool up with the lawyers, you know what I mean? So that's what he thinks.
There has to be third-party legal representatives.
Exactly.
Whereas
Scally was very efficient at very low cost, in the same way as Sheila Noonan, for instance, went quietly about her work at very low cost. I know we're going to come on to the mother and baby homes. The Taoiseach mentioned Sitesurf and Project Eagle, which were, if you like, to make the distinction between with public inquiries, these were private inquiries. But because of the nature of what we do, they ended up having still a huge cost, massive legal cost, and taking for years. And I should explain what they are. Sitesurf was related to a claim that a businessman who owned the firm Sitesurf, which was installing water meters, had been beneficially allowed the money, and so allegedly, and so forth and so on. And people from Liam's party got up on in the Dáil and demanded inquiries. The two co-leaders of the Social Democrats at the time, supported by others, we had an inquiry, and it effectively eventually reported at huge costs, running into the millions, and found nothing to see here, folks. Very much the same with Project Eagle. Project Eagle related to allegations concerning a sweetheart deal, supposedly, allegedly, in relation to the disposal of a bunch of Northern Ireland assets that were controlled by NAMA, insofar as people who had an inside track allegedly might have benefited, you know.
Right. But the report put paid to those allegations.
Again, the report went on, and by the same token as the Taoiseach said, that found there was not a case to answer. Right.
So it sounds like you can see merits on both sides of the argument there. But, I mean, you know, the convening of committees came up on the order of business today. Ray, the Cronin, first out of the traps, Pádraig McLoughlin was calling for the convening of a committee on foreign affairs, on trade, on matters. We'll get to later on in the programme. But, you know, the health committee, could that be something that should be got
there's
up and
no
running?
Reason. There's no reason why these committees couldn't have been formed back in February. The whatever they want to call themselves, the Lowry's...
Regional independence,
we'll call them, okay. Yeah. The regional independence.
Well, you asked what they wanted to call themselves. That is what they want to call themselves.
They wouldn't have had any right to have a chair of a committee until, I think, the 26th or the 27th committee. So that wasn't the reason why these committees were delayed. So this government is absolutely doing all it can to avoid any kind of accountability and scrutiny. There's no reason why the committee shouldn't be up. All of them shouldn't be up and formed by now, and the government should be trying to get them. We want the Foreign Affairs and Trade Committee up as well, and the Health Committee has to look at this.
Ciara Keogh, can you see a compelling case for the Health Committee to be convened following a report like this? And we know, you know, there's more to come.
Well, this government isn't afraid of accountability, and we are very much looking forward to the committee's been set up and running. I was on the Dáil Reform Committee. I sat for over 20 hours trying to find a solution to the standing orders difficulties. The committees are being going through tomorrow with the Dáil Reform Committee. After that, on Thursday, the whips will go through the different chairs of the committees, and then once we come back after recess, the items of reference will be agreed, and we'll go forward from there. But this is not a government problem. This is, you know, everybody around the table trying to come to a solution over a long period of time to give people their right to be on committees and take their positions. And I don't accept that.
All right, Liam Quaid.
We'd avoided it.
From the beginning of the formation of the government, the opposition offered to set up the committees according to the D'Hondt system, which is based on your proportion of representation. And as Rada said, there was no reason why that couldn't have happened despite the Speaking Rose dispute.
Right. So you think, in short order, before mid-May anyway, you see a possibility to set up a health committee if the will was there?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in a minute. We're going to look at that other issue that Senan mentioned there, the mother and baby homes, and the attempts by the negotiator on behalf of the state, Sheila Noonan, to try and get money out of religious organisations and church authorities.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.